Today's Shiz Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Hey. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Hey Amud Aleph at the fourth line. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had introduced a new concept, and that was that even though, as we have been learning, schita, squeezing something in Shabbos is usur, if you do it la'oichel, if you squeeze, the Gemara had taught us directly into food, then it's not considered an act of schita. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Gemara wants to suggest if that halacha is actually ketanoi, a machloikis tanoim. Because the Mishnah Masechta Maaseres teaches us, hamachlik as somebody's machlik ba'anovim, he's squeezing grapes to put them on top of his loaf of bread. It was typical that they would squeeze grapes to put them on top of the bread, to put the juice on top of the bread. The Rishonim give two reasons why they would do so. The Ramban explains what they were concerned that the bread would get burnt in the oven. So they're putting the liquid on top of the bread, they avoided that problem. The Rashba says that the reason they did it was to give the bread a nice shine. And that's how it accomplished it, by putting on the grape juice. But now we have an issue, as we always discuss. When you put liquid on a food, the food becomes mukhshal kabbalah tumah. It becomes susceptible to kabbalah tumah. And the question is, the liquid that is now being put on this bread, is it makshir the food for kabbalah tumah? You put grape juice on the bread, so the bread is now mukhshal kabbalah tumah. And Tanakam says, Loi Hochshur, Rabbi Yehuda Haim Hochshur, it is Mukshal Kabbalah's Tumah. Suggest the Gemara, My Labav Kamefki, what is the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? Exactly the issue that we have been discussing. Marsov, the Tanakam's opinion is, Mashka Habola Oichel Oichahu, food that's liquid that's put on a food has the status of food. So if this liquid, if this grape juice is put on the food and it has the status of food, so therefore won't be Machsher, this dough for Kabbalah's Tama. And Rabbi Yehuda, Marsov, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is going to be Lav Oichelhu, that it's not considered like a food, it's still a liquid, and since it's a liquid, that's why it's Machsher, this dough for Kabbalah's Tama. So the Arachayim HaKadosh, in his Sefer Chayfetz Hashem, asks if the basis of this Machloikis is as the Gemara wants to suggest, if Machsher Habola Oichel, does it have a rule, din of oichel or not? So why did we have to come up with the situation of somebody's putting grape juice on his bread, and does that bread become mukshal kabbalah tumah or not? We could have just said, as we discussed in our previous year, if you're squeezing something directly into food, is that called schita or not? So the Chayfetz Hashem answers that the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush, that not only in a place, which is the example that we discussed in our previous year, where you squeeze the food, where you squeeze the juice directly into the food. We spoke about squeezing the lemon into the sugar. So the juice is going directly into the food. But not only in a situation where the food is going direct, where the juice is going directly into the food, is the halacha that it's considered an oichel. But even here, where the juice that's being put on top of the dough is only a layer on top of the dough, and therefore, maybe then it should not be considered an oichel, teaches us the Gemara, teaches us the Mishnah, Masechta Maaseres, that still is considered an oichel because it's being used for food purposes. Says the Gemara, Emara Papa, not necessarily is that the way to learn. The Kul Alma, everybody could agree that mashka habol oichel, that even if the mashka is going into a food, lav oichel hu, it's not considered a food. What is the question? What is the basis of the machloikus then in the Mishnah Masechta Maaseres? V'hocha b'mashka habol ibukam afkli, where you're squeezing the grape onto these loaves, and the grape juice is going to get burnt up in the oven. Mar, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is mashka hu, that even though it's going to ultimately get completely burnt up, it's still a mashka. Or masover, and Rabbanan are of the opinion, lav mashkahu. So the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, everybody is agreeing that mashka haba la'oichel, that a mashka that's being squeezed into food is not considered an oichel, it's considered a mashka. But as we just explained, the machlokas there is a different machlokas altogether. The Rashba, however, quotes the Girsas Hagoinim, who says that just the opposite, that everybody agrees mashka haba la'oichel, that if it's being squeezed into food, it has a din like an oichel, as we indeed quoted the halacha in our previous year. And the machlokas is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though mashka haba la'oichel ka'oichel, that's only when the mashka is being put into the food to be part of the food, to give it taste. But if you are using the mashka, like in our case, just to put a shine on top of the challah, then the mashka is not considered an oichel. And the chum hold, since the bread, even though it's indeed not giving taste to the bread, but it's also going to get burnt up, so that's another reason why it should not be considered a mashka. So in other words, the Rashba is teaching us a kula and a chumra at the same time. On one hand, the Rashba is teaching us that everybody agrees mashka haba la'oichel is ka'oichel. But the Rashba is now adding that when do we say that mashka haba la'oichel is ka'oichel? Only in a situation where the food will indeed be enhanced by that mashka. But if the food will not be enhanced by that mashka being put into it, then we can't consider it as a mashka, as an oichel, unless the rabbanan add a new condition now, it gets completely burnt up. And the Gemara teaches us that we see this concept elsewhere. Well, pluk the dani tanoi, this concept, if the mashka is going to be completely burnt up or not, is related to another machlokes, the Tananya. The Braisa teaches us, Hamafatza bezeis and biyodim soavis. They used to bruise the olives in order to soften them up so they become sweeter. And somebody did that with hands that were tamei. Now liquid obviously comes out when you're doing this bruising to the olive. Hochshur. So that oil that came out when you bruise them, makes that the olives are mukshla kabbalas toma, and since the person who's working with these olives has toma de gehans, the olives become tame. And the reason is because the person who did this is satisfied that the olives should get moist because it'll help them taste better. But if the reason you did this was l'safsim melech, in order to dip them into salt, and if the olives are hard, the salt won't stick to them. So in order to soften them up, he bruises them. The halacha is loy hochshur. Then they're not mukshel kabal tuma, because he has no desire for the oil to come out. He's not interested in that oil. And as we always learn, the only time a liquid can be machshir something for Kabbalah's Tumah is if I was interested in that liquid. Now, somebody bruises the olives for the purpose, lay the Megiya Zeis Olim Sukum Lav, to know if the olives have ripened. Loi Hochshur, again, they're not susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hochshur. They are machshir Kabbalah's Tumah. What is the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama? My lab, the mass of a mashka imel ibud mashkahu. Even though he has no interest in that olive oil, it's still considered an oil or mass of it. Whereas the rabbanon of the opinion that since he's not interested in that oil, he's going to discard that oil. The oil only came out to help him know if it's going to be if the olive is ripe, then it's not considered a machshir. Omer afchuna brev dishmu. This machlokes tanoim is a b'mashka ibud pligi. That indeed is their machlokes. For hanit tanoi, But the machloikus in the—that's the machloikus in that brisa. But says Rav Huna, the machloikus that we began today's shiur with the grape juice that's put onto the loaves is a different subject altogether, and that is b'mashka oimid latzachzchay pligi. If a mashka is only used to put a shine in the food, is that considered a beverage or not? So in other words, it could be that everybody will agree that a mashka that's used for food is a mashka. But that's only when it's a mashka. However, if the purpose of the mashka is only to give a shine to the food, then that may not be considered a mashka. The rabbot, and that indeed is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda says that even though it's here to give a shine to the food, it doesn't lose its status of being a mashka. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chiya, Barashi, Amar Rav. Soichet Adam, Eshkol Shanov, Motoche Gdeira. A person could squeeze a cluster of grapes directly into a pot with food, because he's paskening, like we've been learning, that Mashka Habola Oichel, if you're squeezing the juice for food purposes, it has a din of Oichel. Av L'Toche Gdeira. If it's a cup that's used for drinking, even as we learned in our previous year, there is food in this cup. But since usually when you squeeze into the cup, there is no food in the cup, and the ribbon you can't pour into the cup. V'dag l'hoitzi tziroi. But if you're squeezing a fish to extract the fish juice, then a filo tachakari. You can always squeeze the fish, because the juice that comes out of the fish juice, at least at this point of the Gemara, is not considered a mashka. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamal ha'shmatza. Rav Dimi was sitting and saying over this halacha, Omle abayil Rav Dimi, Atan mishmei d'Rav Masnison, you learned the halacha that we just discussed in the name of Rav, v'loi kashluchu, and there are no questions. However, Anam mishmei d'Shmuel Masninalon, we learned the halacha that was just stated in the name of Shmuel and the Kashalon, and it posed the question, Miyam Shmuel, Daglet Siroi, that if you're squeezing a fish for the fish juice, the halacha is afilo toicha kara, you could squeeze it even to a cup. V'itmar, as the Gemara, we learned the halacha is kvashim. Kvashim are vegetables that were soaked in wine, or they were pickled vegetables. They were soaked in wine, or they were soaked in vinegar, shesochtam. And now you squeeze them. Amar Rav, so Rav says, legufam, if you squeeze them, because there's just too much liquid absorbed into this juice, into these vegetables. And it's difficult to eat with all the liquid in the juice. So you squeeze them to extract the juice. Amar Rav, legufam, if that was the purpose of you squeezing them, mutter, you may do so on Shabbos. If, however, lememeyem, do you squeeze them because you want to get that liquid, potter, avaloser. You're not chayiv chattis. It's not considered the real malocha of dosh, but it's also medrabonim. Why isn't that considered the real malocha of dosh? So Rashi explains that the only time there's a chayiv of disha, of schita, medaraisa, is in a case where the juice is naturally part of the fruit or the vegetable. But where it's not naturally part of the juice or the vegetable, as we explained, you pickle them in different liquids and wine and vinegar. So therefore, the juice that was made is not natural. And that's why there's no chiv dosh medaraisa. Ask Tosfos that we've had in our Masechta many different situations where there's a malacha of schita, where it wasn't something that was naturally there. We said that you're not allowed to put a piece of material to close up a barrel of wine because we're concerned that you may come to squeeze the wine out. All the cases that we spoke about that you're not allowed to sponge up something because you come up to schita, why according to Rashi, would there be a malacha of dosh? So, one teretz that Tosfos suggests that those shittas don't agree with what we just learned. Another pshat is, the Chasam Sofer says that the Rashi, there's a question why you chayif a schita. Are you chayif because of mefarik, because of dosh, or you chayif because of mechabes? So all those cases that we just spoke about, the reason you chayif is not because of dosh. Because dosh, as Rashi just taught us, is only by something which is there naturally. Something which is not there from itself, there's no malachas dosh, but there is still malachas koivis. The Sfas Emes differentiates between fruits and vegetables, that you're not, according to Rashi, you're not chai for disha medaraisa, only for the juices that are there naturally, versus other materials that there is no such distinction. But it doesn't explain why they should have a different din. However, Tosfos seems to take a different approach. Tosfos says that the only time, as we're going to discuss in our shiur today, the midaraisa, we have the melacha of disha, is only by zeis and vanoven. Everywhere else, we're learning now, there is no disha midaraisa, but the Gemara is teaching us that even though there is no disha midaraisa, there is going to be midrabanan and iser. Vishlokas, next case, are vegetables that are cooked in water, bein legufim bein lemeimeyem, whether you're squeezing out the juice because you just want to be able to eat the vegetable and the excess juice is bothering you, or whether you want that juice, mutter. So here we see that there's a difference between kovash and mevushal. So I saw that the Sfas Emes says that we know in Hilchos Yerideya, the Gemara teaches us, the Halacha teaches us many times, that kovash, something which was pickled, has the same din as mevushal. Yet in our Gemara, was saying that it's not the same. So I saw that the Sefer Sharm, the Sfas Emes answers, the Sometzim Melacha quotes him. He says that when do we say kovash k'mevushal? Only regarding Hilchos Bliya. We know that something that's cooked has blias. So the halacha is the same thing as far as that kovash has that same halacha. But in other areas of halacha, we don't necessarily say that kovash and mevushal are identical. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel teaches us, echad kvashim vechad shalachis gufa mutter. If you're doing it just to get the vegetable better, you may squeeze it. But if you want the water, pata velosa. So now the question is, squeezing fish for the fish juice is the same as squeezing the juice out of the vegetables that were cooked in the water. And why by shlokas did Shmuel say that you're not allowed to do it? And the way we quoted the Gemara earlier, by fish, he does allow you to squeeze the fish. Amalei, so Rav Dimi responded to Abaya, Elokim, Eloshen Shvua. The Pasuk says in Eiv, Einei ro'u v'loi zor. It's something that I know for a fact. B'pumid the Rav Yirmiyah Shmilei, I heard this halacha from Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira Rav Chibar Ashi, Rav Chiyah Shami Merav. This halacha wasn't stated by Shmuel, which will lead us to have a question, a stira in what Shmuel said. Rather, this was all taught to us in the name of Rav, and since everything here was taught in the name of Rav, there is no stira. Rav is very consistent. Gufa teaches us the Gemara, Kvashim Sheshachtam. So the Gemara goes back to this halacha. This vegetables that were pickled, if amarav legufon, if you're only squeezing them because you want to get, it's easier for you to eat the vegetable that way, but you're not interested in the water, in the juice, it's mutter. Lemeimeim, but if you want the juice, the water that comes out, potter avaloser. Vishlokas, when we speak about cooked vegetables, bein leguf and bein lememeim, whatever your purpose in squeezing them, according to Rav, it's mutter. And what's the reason, explains the Menachem Eshes Nefesh, that we differentiate between vegetables that were pickled versus vegetables that were cooked? He says, the vegetables that were cooked in water, they get soft by cooking them in water. And therefore,
since they're so soft, when you squeeze those vegetables, not only will the juice come out, but part of the vegetable will come out. If part of the vegetable comes out, that's considered oichel mi oichel. Oichel mi oichel is not considered the melacha of dosh. However, says the Menachem Meshev Nefesh, when you're squeezing vegetables that were pickled, they're not that soft. And when you squeeze out the juice, only juice comes out and none of the vegetable comes out. That's why that's more similar to the melacha of dosh. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel's opinion is, echad zeh vechad zeh, whether we're speaking about kvashim, whether we're speaking about shlokas, legufam, if you're only doing it so you should be able to eat the vegetable, mutter, you may squeeze it, lemeimeim, but if you're doing it because you want to get the juice, pata avalosam. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad kvashim, echad shlokas, by both of them, legufam mutter, if you're doing it just to be able to eat them, it's mutter, if lemeimeim, but if you want the juice, not only is it osur, but there's a chiv chatos. There's a chiyuv chatos in that situation. So the question is, ask the Prima Gadim, we're comparing shlokas when you squeeze the juice to fish when you squeeze this juice. That means, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you squeeze vegetables to get the juice, it's an issa d'oraisa, chiyuv chatos. So the same thing would be if you squeeze fish to get out the juice and you want that juice, you'd be chayiv chatos. But ask the Prima Gadim that we learned that disha is not possible by something which is not gedulei karka. And here, the fish is not gedulei karka. So why? How could Rabbi Yochanan say there's a chayiv chatos? And the Prima Gadim doesn't have an answer to this question. The Chasam Sofer says that the rule that ain't disha el gedulei karka is only in a situation where the juice is there naturally. So where the juice is there naturally, there we say ein disha el b'gdulei karka. But in a place where the juice came later, then there's a disha even by something which is not g'dulei karka, which is an answer to the question that we mentioned a few minutes ago. We asked, the Rashi said that the issue, there's a difference between juice that's there naturally and juice that's not there naturally. So here too, the Chasam Sofer says that rule will not. That rule is only by something which is gedulei karka. Something which is not gedulei karka has a whole different set of rules. Meisvei asked the Gemara on these three opinions. It says in a brisa, "Soichdin kavashim b'shabbos l'tzarich shabbos." You'll have to squeeze out vegetables on Shabbos if you want it for Shabbos. Avaloy l'matzah Shabbos. If your purpose is for matzah Shabbos, it's prohibited. V'zeis v'novim lo yischot. You're never allowed to squeeze olives and grapes. V'msochet chayiv chatos. And if you do, you're chayiv chatos. What is the brisa doesn't differentiate between tzarich gufam or tzarich meimeim. So it seems that when it's mutter even if you want the juice. So that's a question on Rav and Shmuel. And moreover, this price is certainly a question to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you squeeze kvashim, you chayiv chatos. And here it says that the price says only by zeisim v'anovim there's a chayiv chatos. And Rabbi Yochanan says there's a chayiv chatos by all vegetables. Says the Gemara, Rav mitaris l'tamei, Shmuel mitaris l'tamei, Rabbi Yochanan mitaris l'tamei. Rav mitaris l'tamei, soichten kvashim b'shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze vegetables. L'tzarech haShabbos, avaloy l'matzah Shabbos. You're only allowed to do it for Shabbos, not for matzah Shabbos. But medvar mamurim, when was that said? If you're doing it legufam, aval l'meimeim. If you're doing it to get the juice itself, pot avaloser v'shlokas. And when we speak about vegetables, that were cooked, there the halacha is bein legufam bein l'meimeim. No matter what your purpose was, it's mutter. V'zeis v'nam lo yitzchum v'nsach chayiv chatos. Shmuel mataris l'tamei. Sarech din kvashim b'shabbos l'tzarech haShabbos. V'hu adin l'shlokas. The same din, kvashim and shlokas are treated the same way. However, when was that said? B'medvar amurim l'gufon. If you're doing it to improve the vegetable. Avlam emeim, if you're trying to get the juice, pot avl osir. V'zeis v'nam lo yitzchum v'nsach chayiv chatos. Rav Yochanan mataris l'tamei. You're only allowed to do it if you need it for Shabbos. Avloy lematzah Shabbos. And this then applies echad kvasher v'echad shlokas. B'medver murim legufam, if you're doing it to improve it. Av l'meyim, if you're doing it for the purpose of getting the juice, then you may not do it. Vim sochan, and if you did do so, it has the din, nasa kamisha sochat zeis v'anovim, as if you squeezed olives and grapes, and you would be chayiv chatas. So all of them have been able to interpret the braisa to be consistent with their opinion. Comments the Gemara, Amar Rav Chibar Ashi Amar Rav, Dva Torah Mida Raisa, Eina Chayiv, there's no Chayiv Chattis, Ela Aldricha Seisva Anovim Belvad, only by olives and grapes, because those are vegetables where it's common, Rashi says, to squeeze the grapes, to squeeze these fruits, or olives, to get the vegetables. With something which is not the derech to squeeze, you can't be Chayiv the Raisa. So the Rosh points out that, to be consistent with what we've been learning in our Masechta, that's only by fruits. But when we're talking about other materials, like we mentioned earlier in the shiur, material, etc., there you could have schita, even if it's not a grape or an olive. V'chein tonu de beim nasha, t'va toira ena chayiv midaraisa, you won't be chayiv for schita, el al zeisva anom v'vad. And now he introduces a halacha. We know that when edus has to be received, when we have to receive testimony from witnesses, the witness has to come and say and tell us what he heard or saw directly. Coming and saying that I heard from a different aid is not a valid edus. Then aid me pi aid kosher, but the halacha is when in halacha is an aid me pi aid accepted, eladis edus isha bavad. As the Gemara and Masechta Yevamos teaches us that if an aid comes and says that I heard from a different aid how this woman's husband died, so normally that wouldn't be an acceptable testimony. But Mishumi Guna, Ekilu Rabba Rabbonin. Rabbonin were makel and said that we'll accept that aidus. And Rashi explains, how can we accept this is testimony, if according to the halacha, it's not a valid testimony? So says Rashi, that kol ha-mekadosh adata d'rabbonim mekadosh. Whenever somebody gets married, he gets married according to the way Chazal established it should be a valid kedushin. That's why when a husband is mekadosh his wife, we know he says under the chuppah, harayat mekadosh b'tabazu, kedas moshe v'yisroel. What's he meaning to say when he says Kedas Moshe Yisrael? What he's trying to express is that I am making this Kedushin dependent on the Rabbanan who say the Kedushin should be a Kedushin or could not be a Kedushin. So he says that Kedas, that the Rabbanan said in this situation, even though the Eidus really isn't the way testimony should be offered, we will accept the testimony. Explains. So that's why the Rabbanan said we will invalidate the first Kedushin and she's not an Eishes Ish. So ask the Rishonim that the Gemara, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Yevamos, that if the woman went and got remarried, and then the first husband shows up, the halacha is Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh. She can't remain married, not to the second husband, not to the first husband. And more than that, if she had children from the second husband, it turns out she was an Eishes Ish. And if she was an Eishes Ish, when she had those children, the children are Mamzerim. So now, there's an obvious question. If, as Rashi just explained, the Rabbanan invalidated the whole first Kedushin, if the Rabbanan invalidated the whole first Kedushin, so then she wasn't an Eishes Ish. If she's not an Eishes Ish, why are the children Mamzerim? So the Rishonim respond. The Rabbanan invalidated the first Kedushin because they also had another factor that they took into consideration. And that is Isha Daiko Amintzaba. A woman will not get remarried until she makes sure that her husband indeed passed away. This woman obviously didn't do that proper investigation. For had she done the proper investigation, she would have known that her first husband was still alive. So the Rabbanan only invalidate the first Kedushin and say it wasn't annulled, the whole first Kedushin, only when all of those conditions were met. If that condition of Daika Mintzaba, which clearly wasn't met in this case, wasn't done, then they didn't annul the first Kedushin. If they didn't annul the first Kedushin, so then she's still an Eishes Ish. And that's why Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh Ubanem Mizeh. Ask the Gemara Bailahu, Eid Mi Pi Eid Le Eidus Bechor Mahu. We know that the halacha is that if a person has a Bechor, a firstborn animal, it has to be given to the Kohen, and the Kohen puts it on the, is supposed to bring it as a carbon, similar to a carbon shlomim. However, if the animal develops a mum, the halacha is that that animal now becomes the meat, the animal of a Kohen. He could eat it like he eats any other meat that he would be interested in eating. If, however, the Kohanim were accused to, that they would make a mum in the animal, so they shouldn't have to bring it as a carbon with all of the restrictions. So to say an animal has a mum, we have to have an aid come and tell us that we know that this animal developed the mum by itself, not that somebody made the mum. So now, aidus to say that. Ibailuhu, Amy P. Aid Ladis Bachar. To be able to say aidus, that this mum developed in the Bachar by itself, can we rely on Amy P. Aid or not? Rav Ami Aser, Rav Ami says no. Rav Ashi Shari Rasi says yes. Amalei Rav Ami Ravasi, Vatana de Bemanasha, Ain Amy P. Aid, Kosha El Aidus Ishul Bavad. Didn't we just learn that only by Eidus Isha, Eid Mi Pi Eid is fine, nowhere else in Halacha? So how could you suggest that we could rely on Eid Mi Pi Eid for Bechor as well? Answers the Gemara, Eimer, you misunderstood the statement. Le'edus she'isha k'sher l'bavad. Where is Eid Mi Pi Eid acceptable? In a case where a woman would be acceptable. And since a woman is acceptable to say that this mum developed on the Bechor by itself, so too will an Eid Mi Pi Eid be Neman. So the Sfas Emes says, how could the Gemara had a Havamina that Eid Mi Pi Eid is only acceptable by Eidus Isha? We know, in the fundamental halacha, that Eid Echad Neman Bisurim. We could trust on one Eid in all Inyana Kashrus and all Inyana Bisurim. So how can we suggest that it's only by Eidus Isha? So the Sfas Emes answers that when we have a rule, Eid Echad Neman Bisurim, it's not that there's a halacha that you need Eidus and one Eid is good enough. The halacha is that over there, Eidus isn't required. It's a whole different concept than halacha. Isurim doesn't require Eidus. So since Isurim doesn't require Eidus, there, Eid Echad is Neman, Eisha is Neman, Eid Mi Pi Eid is Neman. But here we're talking about a place where Eidus is required. Rav Yemi Echsha Eid Mi Pi Eid Bechor, he would allow an Eid Mi Pi Eid in the questions of Bechor, and Karel Merema, and Merema would call him Yema Shari Bechor, that he's a person that's easy, that is lenient, in declaring a Bechor is Bechor, but the halacha is that Eid Mi Pi Eid is Kashla Bechor. We learned in the Mishnah, Chalas Tavash, the honeycombs that were crushed before Shabbos, and honey came out on Shabbos, the Chum say, you're not allowed to eat that honey on Shabbos, like any liquid that oozes out by itself on Shabbos, and Rabbi Lezer says it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Ka'asar V'ayshim Ben Adah, if you began to squeeze the olives and the grapes from before Shabbos, and then the oil, the juice comes out on Shabbos as surim, because of the gzeira that we may come to squeeze them on Shabbos. Rav Elazar of Shimon Matirim. Amar Rav Yosef, Gav Yisera Os Lashminen. What was the purpose, asked Rav Yosef, and what Rav Oisha just taught us? This machlokes is a machlokes that we had already in the Mishnah. So all we're learning new from you is that Rav Shimon concurs with the opinion of Rav Elazar. But that's not really a chiddush. Omle Abaya, so Abaya said, Tuvikom HaShemilon, there is a chiddush. Divnas Nisan, if we would have only learned the Mishnah, Havamina, Hasam Hu, you know why he's lenient in the Mishnah, the Mikara Uchla, that the beginning the honey was a food, and when they come out, they're food. And therefore, in such a situation, we're not going to make a gzera of Shema Yisrait. Aval Hocha, by Zeis Venovim, the Mikara Uchla B'Saif Mashka, first they were food, and now they're a Mashka. Eim Eloi, even Rabbi Lezer would be Machmer, Kamash Malon, that not only is Rabbi Lezer Makel by honeycombs, Rabbi Lezer is also Makel by Zeisim Vanovim. So the Mepharshim ask, here the Gemara is saying, the Rash asks, that the difference between honey and Zeisim Vanovim is that by honey, it's at the beginning Uchla, and at the end it's Uchla, but by Zeisim Vanovim, it's originally an Uchla, and then it's a Mashka. Ask the Rash, we know that honey is considered a Mashka, because as we've been discussing in our Shiurim, food, to become susceptible to tumah, it has to come in contact with a mashka. And one of the beverages that it could come contact with to become susceptible to tumah is dvash. So why are you saying, asked the Rash, that dvash, after it's squeezed, is an oichel? So the Menachem Eish HaNefesh answers that this halacha, that dvash is considered a beverage, is a unique halacha in Hilchas Tumah. In Hilchas Tumah, there's a halacha that it's considered a mashka. But in all other areas of halacha, it's indeed considered an oichel. Our Mishnah now begins another subject. And that is the subject of warming up foods on Shabbos. When may you and when may you not? It says the Mishnah, Kol Shabbos B'chamim, may Erev Shabbos, something that was cooked from Erev Shabbos and then it cooled off. The halacha is shayonos b'cham Shabbos. We could soak it in hot water on Shabbos, that it should become soft again, even in a kli rishon. So there's a big machlokes for shayonim. How much did the food have to become cooked before Shabbos? Rashi says that as long as it was cooked, kol tzarchai, that it was completely cooked. And so too is the opinion of Tosfos. The Rambam, however, seems to learn that even if it was in the special Kamacha ben Rusoi, just a third or a half, as we always quote the Machalikas Rishonim, it's already considered in the special for this halacha to apply. The halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, is that for these halachas to apply, it had to be in the special called Tzarchoi, and had to be completely cooked from before Shabbos. So again, Kol Shabbos B'chamin, anything that was cooked me'erev Shabbos from before Shabbos, and then it got cooled off, Shoynosoi B'cham B'Shabbos, you could put it into hot water on Shabbos to soften it up, and it's not considered Bishul. Where may you put it? So Tosfos, the Ran, say you could put it even to a Kli Rishon. However, even though they're being lenient that you could put it into a Kli Rishon, of course you can't put it on a Kli Rishon that's on the fire. You could put it in a Kli Rishon that's off the fire. But when it's on the fire, you have the concern that we discussed extensively earlier in the Masechta of Chazara, of putting anything back, putting something on the first place on the fire on Shabbos. V'kol shaloi ba b'chamim, me'erev Shabbos, something that wasn't cooked from Erev Shabbos. Medich noisei b'cham b'Shabbos, we're allowed to wash it off with hot water on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to soak it in hot water. Chutz min aliyach hayoshen, except for fish, v'koyis espanim, a different type of salted fish, that you're not allowed to even rinse them on Shabbos, she'dechosen zugumalam lachtem. So there are a number of very important halacha concepts, Hilchos Shabbos concepts, that are part of this Mishnah. First, we see from here that ein bishlacha bishul, that something that was cooked from before Shabbos, there's no iser bishul on Shabbos again. But the question is, when we say ein bishlacha bishul, is that only by a dover yavish, something that's a salad, or even by a liquid? Big machlokes rishonim, the Smak, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the Rosh, the Tor, say only by Dover Yovish is there a rule of Ein Bishlach HaBishol. By a Dover Lach, there is bishlach bishul. The Rambam, the Rashba, and the Ran say that even by dover lach, the rule is ein bishlach bishul. The Shulchan Aruch says that we have to be machmer, and only by dover yovish do we say ein bishlach bishul, but not by dover lach. The Rama is more lenient. This is all in Simon Shin Chof. The Rama is more lenient, and the Rama says that even by Davalach, we really should say Ein Bishlach Abishol. He's not ready to be completely lenient, and he says the Davalach should still have be at least lukewarm. But if you have a Davalach that's lukewarm, he holds Ein Bishlach Abishol. But then the Mishnah said that you have certain foods had the chason zug mamalachtem. Just rinsing them is considered as if you cook them. And therefore, the halacha is you won't be allowed to rinse them. The question is, in what will you be allowed to rinse them? And what won't you be allowed to rinse them? And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Chof of Katan Lamtes says that even a iri kli sheni, you're not allowed to rinse them. However, if the water is not hot, then he'll be not that hot. He'll be a little more lenient than iri kli sheni. What is this called? This is called kali habishol. There are foods that are very easy to cook. And foods that are kali habishol, we have to be concerned, even rinsing them with a kli sheni will make them be considered cooked. And that's why we have to be machmer in these foods. And this is the reason why people won't make a coffee directly from an iri kli rishon, or they won't make a tea from an iri kli rishon. Because even though the beans were roasted already, but there is bishul acher afia, there is bishul acher tzli, and we need to be concerned that it's from the kali habishul, and therefore the way to avoid the problem is by only making the coffee not from an iri kli rishon, only from an iri kli sheni, or the Chazon Ish was makbid, it should be din a kli shlishi. Ask the Gemara that anything that came into hot water before Shabbos, we're allowed to soak them in Shabbos. Kigoy mai. Ask the Gemara, give me an example of such a food. Amar Rav Safra, kigoy tanakol to the Reb Abba. The chicken of Reb Abba, which he would soak for many days after cooking it, that he's saying is allowed to be done in Shabbos. Vamar Rav Safra, zimna chada eklasis lahosam. I once came to Reb Abba's home in Eretz Yisrael, vochel minei, and he fed us this dish of this type of chicken. If he hadn't given us to drink 3-year-old wine afterwards to drink, it's nasi. I would have vomited. It was so bad tasting. Rabbi Yochanan said the kutach, which was a dip that they used to eat, he would spit when he just remembered eating that food. So Rabbi Yosef, who was from Bavel, was troubled by the way that the Jews of Eretz Yisrael viewed the Jews of Bavel, that even their food was revolting to them. Amar Rabbi Yosef, v'leilak anan mitaganot de Rab Abba. We are revolted by, remember, the chicken of Rab Abba. Void Amar Rav Goza, zim nechada klisus lahasam. I once came to Eretz Yisrael, v'avdus kutach de Bavloi, and I used the recipe for kutach de bavloi, and shoa mimeni kol barichim arava, and all the sick people of Eretz Yisrael came to ask me for to have some of this kutach because they all felt it was delicious. We learned in the Mishnah the kol shloi ba b'chamim, anything which isn't prepared before Shabbos, we can't even rinse with hot water on Shabbos. The salted fish, the salted planus. Hidich mai, what happens if you did rinse these kalei abishol? Amar Rav Yosef, hidiach, if you did it, yichayif chatas. Machlokes Rishonim, what is the malacha? Rashi says it's bishol. There are other Rishonim that say that the malacha is makabe patish. Amar Abrei de Ravina, afanan tanina, chutz, memaleich hayoshev klius hasponam, shetachasin zuig ma malachtan, shmamina, that there's an issa deraisa to do this. Says the Gemara, Yosef of Chiyah bar Abba Ravasik, Amed Rabbi Yochanan, V'Yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'kom anamnim. Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. Amal Rav Chiya bar Abba l'Rabasi. Neima ofel oifes shebebovel shmeinim. So he asked them a question. Why do we find that the birds from Bavel are fatter than those that you find in Eretz Yisrael? Amle kalach lemida azva. Go to Azza. V'areich shmeinim mehem. I'll show you even fatter birds than the Bavel birds. Neima my Adam shebebovel smeichim. Why do we find, he asked, that the Yom Tovim in Bavel, they're more joyous than the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael? So he answered, because they're poor, and the only time they have an opportunity to have real simcha is on Yontif. Why do they put on nice clothing? So he said, Lefish Eina B'nai Torah. So there are many explanations in explaining what does it mean, Lefish Eina B'nai Torah. One pshat is, the simple pshat the most learn, is that the other people that they learned, that they spoke to, many people that lived in Bavel, were not Tamid Chacham, they were Maratzim. So they won't really know how to respect and appreciate a Tamid Chacham. How will they respect and appreciate a Tamid Chacham? They see he's dressed nicely. Another pshat that I saw, Lefish Eina B'nai Torah, is because they are not necessarily children and grandchildren of Rabbonim and Talmidei Chachamim. So they have to earn the respect on their own. They don't have the yichus. So the way they are able to earn that respect is by being dressed nicely. Memnei ma'av de Chachamim Zuhamim. Why do we find that the Akum are not pure? Neshayichim shkatzim v'remashim. Issebar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan woke up and he heard this conversation. Amalu dadiki, children, lo kach amati lahem, have I not told you, emol achach machoisiyat? So why did he call them children? So I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains, because they were not showing, they spoke without the proper derech eretz about the Talmidei Chacham in Bavel. And if they don't speak with the proper derech eretz about the Talmidei Chacham in Bavel, he called them children. He says, "Emo l'chach ma'choisiyat." Im baruch adav ka'choischa. If it's obvious to you, just like that, this like your sisters are to you, shesur l'chamreyu. V'mlav. Otherwise, al tamreyu. Don't say it. So what pshat ka'choischa? The Gemara explains that actually the halacha that your sister is usur, we could have learned from a kal v'chomer. But the Torah even didn't rely on the Kal V'chomer. The Torah says it explicitly. So just like the Torah says that explicitly and there's no question, the only divrei Torah you should say is something which is clear. So you explain, answer the questions. So he answered, they didn't go into Golos. How do we know that the birds and gulls, birds in Eretz Yisrael went to gulls? The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, the Pasuk says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamishim Shtayim Shana Lo Avish B'Yehuda, for 52 years of gulls, from they went to gulls in the time of Tzidkiyahu until they came back to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Kairish, there was 52 years. Shenema alaharim esa b'chi v'nei ma'oif at shemayim v'ad behema nodadu alocha. Behema is b'gematria chamish v'tartan hava. So the birds went into Golos. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, kulan chazrin, all the animals and birds and everything came back to Tzisrael, chutz mikoyis asbanim that was mentioned in our Mishnah. Domarav, hani madri the bovel, the slopes of bovel, return water, Mahadri Main Lane Eaton, from the water of Ain Eaton. So we see that they came back to Tzisrael that route. Vahai, Kivin Dalai Shadr Shidrit. But the Kois Aspa'anin doesn't have a strong spine, so it couldn't fly, it couldn't float or travel with that current, and it didn't make it back to Tzisrael, Lematzi Salak. Neima Ma'adim Shababavel Smechem. Why are Yom Tovim Bavel more joyous? They weren't part of that klala, the ksiv. Vishbati kama soisa, chaga chadosh v'shabat v'kamei adai. The ksiv, chadoshim reidechem sona nafshi, hoylei l'tayrach. My hoylei l'tayrach, what does it mean they were burdened? Amar Abeleza, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, loydain shechoyten, yisro shechoyten l'fane, that they do aveira, Ella, shetrichna isalei de ezek zer kosher avelem. I have to decide what to, how to punish them for their averus. Amar Rav Yitzchak, elchag regel v'regel. Whenever there was a yontif, shlei basa basa l'tzibari, it was always disturbed with the being attacked. And every yontif, different punishment came on the people came to the people in Eretz Yisrael. And as I saw, the Mefarshim explained, and that's why the Yom Tovim, the Gemara said earlier, in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laaretz, were more joyous than the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael. Because when the Gemara says that they were more joyous, we're referring to the Yontif Sheni. The Klala that the Pasuk speaks about is the Yontif Rishon. But Yontif Sheni didn't have this Klala. And that's why Yontif Sheni explains that Tzemach Tzadik is more joyous than Yontif Rishon. And that's why in Bavel, where they have the Yontif Sheni, they're more joyous than at Yisrael, where they don't have that Yontif Sheni.